With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, yo, Pro Wrestling Podcast listeners, welcome to the show where we don't sing it, we bring it. Help us out and click subscribe to show your support. Make sure you follow us on our Discord community and be sure to stop by www.tsj101sports.com. We are the official wrestling podcast of TSJ Sports, and they have all you need: football, wrestling, baseball, basketball, hockey, you name it, even all your college sports. Check them out at tsj101sports.com, the sports junkies. Are you sick and tired of dropping $60 to $100 every year for the latest and greatest wrestling video game? Stop immediately. Go to Wrestler Unstoppable, available exclusively through Facebook. Create a wrestler, sign contracts. You can get involved in storylines, headline pay-per-views, even build your own corporation from the ground up, all included in Wrestler Unstoppable, which is available right now to all Facebook users totally free. If you want to become a member of the Pro Wrestling Podcast family and you want your name in our shout-outs like Mike and Lansdale, Mike, welcome back from a long trip. Check out Patreon at patreon.com/Pro Wrestling Podcast and sign up today. Don't forget our loyalty rewards program. Any $15 a month contributor gets to co-host an episode of a live episode with me, and any of our $7.50 a month contributors get entered into a drawing to also co-host an episode of one of our live shows. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Pro Wrestling Podcast. If you've got questions, you've got comments, anything you'd like for us to touch on, whether it's today or in the future, enable the chat feature in whatever streaming service you're using to get the show and give us your questions, comments. Make sure you tell us who you are so we can give you credit for your questions. If you want to give us something, maybe you're not want to call in today, maybe you catch the show after the fact, call into the Pro Wrestling Sound Off line, 267-642-1160, where you can give us questions, comments, concerns, things you want us to talk about, make special episode requests, whatever it is, do it through the Sound Off line and leave us a message for a future episode. We'll get to as many of those as we can. Again, make sure you tell us who you are so we can give you credit for your questions. Don't forget to head on over to the Pro Wrestling homepage. Pro Wrestling Podcast is at frowrestling.com, where you can preview all the topics coming to this and every show of the Pro Wrestling Podcast. This episode, lots of things to talk about. We're going to get started with some of the news that broke earlier in the week. We're referencing the WWE Hall of Fame announcements that came out this past week. Yes, the NWO going into the Hall of Fame. I found it interesting that many of the graphics are highlighting Hall, Nash, Hogan, and I don't know why they're including Sean Waltman in that graphic. There were other people who joined the NWO who were significantly more relevant than Six at the time is what he was going by. And I really just don't understand it. X-Pac went in last year with DX. I don't understand why he's being inducted with the other three members and not either. If you're going to induct him, why you wouldn't induct significantly more members who had a much bigger impact on that program? Conan was much bigger. Lex Luger was a part of the mix. The Big Show was a part of the mix. Now, rumor is the Big Show might be one of the other inductees this year. We'll have to wait and see if that pans out. The Bella Twins are being speculated. There's a few people that are being speculated going in this year. But the NWO thing, I almost have a problem with it. Not because they don't deserve to be there, but because of one, the people they're including, which, by the way, of all people in the entire NWO saga, the number one guy who should be there is Eric Bischoff. And he has not been mentioned. He actually had comments on his 83-week show the other day about how he would be there to induct them if they asked him to. He'd love to go down and hang out with the guys. But he kind of shied away a little bit from whether or not he should be inducted with the group. Absolutely. Eric Bischoff is every bit as influential in the NWO's history as anybody else. And he should definitely be a part of that induction. The other issue I have is that it seems like WWE has forgotten so many incredible talents from the past, and they keep putting in repeated people. Heck, X-Pac got in last year. Why is he going in a second time already? Kevin Nash got in a couple years ago. Scott Hall got in. You know what I mean? They just got in. Now, Hulk Hogan went in 2005, so I'm fine if you want to add Hogan again, because let's face it, there is no NWO without Hulk Hogan. But can we please start thinking about some of the other people, the other talents that truly belong in the Hall of Fame? You know, the British Bulldogs, they're not in the Hall of Fame. They probably really deserve that opportunity. If not both, clearly Davey Boy Smith does. People debate the Dynamite Kid because a lot of his work was outside of WWE. And inside WWE, all he ever won was one tag team championship that didn't even last that long. So I guess I could see where you could make the argument that maybe Davey Boy Smith doesn't belong in there, and thus the British Bulldogs do not. But Davey Boy Smith clearly does, and there's many, many others. The Midnight Express belong in the Hall of Fame. If the Rock and Roll Express can go in, the Midnight Express should be, you know, if the Rock and Roll Express is 1A, they're 1B. Neither one of those two teams would have been anything without each other. So how one's in and one's not, I have no idea. That's something that should be looked at. Instead, we rush things like Batista being the other announced Hall of Fame inductee. Batista, look, I'm a fan of Batista's. But I've seen people all week online talking about what did he ever really do? Well, he won world championships, many of them, which is more than people like Nikolai Volkoff, Paul Orndorff, George the Animal Steele. A lot of the other talents that are in the Hall of Fame never won a world championship. Batista headlined WrestleManias with people like The Undertaker. He had main event programs with people like Edge and Eddie Guerrero and people like that. So, and his long run with Evolution leading to probably the biggest feud of his career, which was always with Triple H. So clearly the guy has done a lot. And yes, if you're going to put people into the Hall of Fame, and I know I say this all the time when Hall of Fame conversation comes up, if you're going to put Hillbilly Jim in the Hall of Fame, and Coco Beware in the Hall of Fame, and George the Animal Steele in the Hall of Fame, which I actually don't have a problem with George Steele. That's another topic for another day. But if you're going to put Hillbilly Jim and Coco Beware in the Hall of Fame, how could you not put a multiple-time world champion, a WrestleMania headliner, and a guy who's had feuds with people the likes of Triple H and The Undertaker on the grandest stage of them all? You have to put him in the Hall of Fame. So if those two guys are in, he has to be in. The problem I have is he didn't have to go in right now. There are so many other people that they really should have looked at putting in that they haven't yet. And that's the thing, too. Like, as time goes on, the fans who appreciate some of those people who are not in yet are going to start to dwindle. Look, let's face it. You know, I was a child of the 80s. I'm in my mid-40s now. You know, how long am I really going to be, like, chomping at the bit to see the British Bulldog get in the Hall of Fame? You know, those are things that need to happen. So, little bit of it's awesome that the NWO and Batista will be in the Hall of Fame. I just don't know if I would have done it this year. The fact that they're going in, wonderful. I have no problem with them going in. I just think we should have included some other names before announcing those two. And what happened to announcing Hall of Fame inductees after the Royal Rumble or at the Royal Rumble? Why are we doing it all the way back here in the middle of December? That seems a little rushed to me. That's just my opinion. So have to wait and see who else gets inducted. There's a lot of guesses and hoopla out there about what's going to happen, but we'll have to wait and see. On the topic of like the bogus news reporting, I am so tired of turning on Facebook or Twitter or whoever, and you see these headlines. The other day I saw one that says, Chris Jericho courting John Cena to come to AEW for an impactful feud. John Cena One is contracted by WWE. Even though he doesn't appear, he does have an active deal with WWE. Two, John Cena will never, they say never, I'm saying never, will never join AEW. He has been given everything in this world that he has as a professional wrestler and as a successful superstar, has been given to him by WWE. He is not leaving. If he's going to go anywhere, it's going to be WWE. I don't care what kind of money Tony Khan throws at him. The guy's making plenty on his movies. He doesn't need Tony Khan's money. So seeing that reported by more than one outlet was ridiculous. He's not going to AEW. I hope fans, when they turn on, I don't know about you guys, but I'm a member of like 40 different wrestling groups on Facebook and several more in other media platforms, and they all were putting that silliness up there. Guys, please tell me you don't believe this kind of nonsense when people put that stuff up there, because it's just simply not true. It's made up news to try to get you to click on their tab so they get an extra click. They come out with some controversial topic and it's clickbait. Don't fall for it. Not happening. All right, moving on. A little disappointed. We've got WWE TLC coming up. And where has the buildup been? Like, for real. There has been almost no discussion about TLC before the pay-per-view. We didn't even know most of the match card until this week. And then some of the matches that apparently they had planned, they've already had to change because so-and-so gets hurt or this guy gets suspended or whatever. And so the whole show, to me, is a rush bunch of mishmash nonsense. Don't get me wrong, the Charlotte and Becky versus the Kabuki Warriors, I'm fine with that. I think that's going to be one of the better matches on the card if they let the ladies tell a story, which they should. I know Paige has been in the news recently complaining about the booking of the women's division. I agree with her. Let Becky and Charlotte and the Kabuki Warriors really tear it down. But going beyond that, the whole thing with Roman Reigns and Baron Corbin, don't get me wrong, I'm not one of the fans who thinks Baron Corbin needs to go away. I think he's one of the best heels in the business right now. And if you don't see that because you're so angry at him, you're proving my point. The guy, just by being there, makes you angry. His work is secondary. All that matters is that people don't want to see him, so they get mad. You don't realize is back in the 70s and 80s and early 90s, a lot of times that's how your best heels came about. People didn't want to see somebody, so they paid to watch the good guy beat up the bad guy they didn't want to see anymore. That's just that's a classic heel. I have no problem with Baron Corbin as a character. What I have a problem with is his character has been built up in a way that he's not believable to have any chance to beat Roman Reigns. And the problem with that is we had Roman Reigns crammed down our throats for so long that a lot of people are not ready for Roman Reigns to be the main event yet. You know, and I'm not trying to be mean. I understand he went through a lot and he left for a while. He came back. He's been out of the championship picture now for quite some time. I get that. And I'm cool with that. But it doesn't mean that we want him pushed right to the main event now. He still needs to stay away. Now, the rumor is that he's facing The Fiend at WrestleMania for the championship, the Universal title. Whatever. How many WrestleManias is Roman Reigns going to get the main event? There are other people on the roster who deserve a shot. I was so happy to see Kofi get his championship last year, but let's be honest. He wasn't the main event. He went on in the middle of the show. So I would love to see WWE start to invest in some of their other talents that really deserve an opportunity to showcase what they could do at WrestleMania instead of always going to the Roman Reigns card. I know Vince loves them, but gosh, come on. Give us something, some little bit of variety, you know, but we'll have to wait and see. And I'm not dumping on Roman Reigns. I'm really not. I actually love Roman Reigns' work. I think he's underappreciated by a good percentage of the fans, but I really, leading up to TLC, does anybody going into this show think he's going to lose? Like, for real? And does anybody even know most of the matches on the card? Because that's sad, too. Like, we have no idea what some of the matches are even going to be. Because I'm sure they're going to add crap at the last minute that none of us were ready for. And let's be honest, most WWE pay-per-views now are really turning into glorified rematches from Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown. We're not getting unique, you know, interesting, compelling matches at pay-per-views. We're getting another weekly television show. Well, why would people tune into the network and buy network subscriptions, especially if they increase the price like they're saying they're going to be doing? Why would people do that if you're just going to give them the same recycled nonsense on your weekly television program and at your pay-per-view? I just think it's a bad business model. Vince McMahon saying, oh, you know, people tune into the network for these things. I don't buy that. I really don't. If people were buying in to doing that as often as Vince makes it sound, they'd have 10 million subscribers at this point, and they don't. You know, so I just think they're missing the opportunity here. If they would actually build their programs correctly and come up with more innovative thinking, I wonder how successful they would be. Might hopefully a lot better. Seth Rollins aligning with the AOP. That's the big buzz this week. What a waste. I love that CM Punk on WWE Backstage talked about, I hope this isn't, you know, the Shield version 2.0. I completely agree. Rollins needs to be away from anybody else. I'm okay with him being a heel. I don't need to see him with the AOP. He needed to be a heel right now. And here's the funny thing about Rollins' character right now. He has not said anything is wrong. The fans wanted him. They wanted him. They wanted him. Then they get him, and right away they sour on him because now they want something else. Like, do wrestling fans, the ones who can't stand Seth Rollins, do they ever go back into their Twitter feeds or their Facebook feeds and see where they were screaming when Brock Lesnar was Universal Champion, begging for them to give the championship to Seth Rollins instead of Roman Reigns? And then he gets it, and immediately, like, everybody turns on him, and they want him, you know, they want something else. Now, maybe part of that was because they put him into a feud right away with Baron Corbin. That's not Seth Rollins' fault, and you can't argue with the fact that his matches were still incredible. It's just you didn't like his opponent. And then, you know, he beats Brock Lesnar a second time, and again, people are happy because he's getting the belt off of Brock, but then people are mad that he's the one who has it. Then the championship goes to The Fiend, and everybody has jumped off the Rollins bandwagon, which I don't get at all. The guy is incredible, and he has been consistent, and he's a defender of the program. I see people who give attitude about, you know, when he made the comments on Twitter about, like, himself being the best wrestler in the world and him and Will Ospreay going back and forth and things like that. What is he supposed to do? Is he supposed to come out on Twitter and be like, hey, I work for the biggest wrestling company in the world. It's a shame we don't have the best wrestler in the world, Will Ospreay, which is debatable to begin with. No, you have to come out and support your brand, and that's what he does, and then people don't like him for it. They don't like him for telling the truth. Have you noticed lately how many of our talents come out and they, the people, the whole line that they use, the whole shtick they use is telling the truth and the fans not liking it? I find that immensely frustrating that that happens, but at the same time, it sells. Fans hate to be told that they're unappreciative. Fans hate to be told to be patient and things like that. And they hate to be told when they've turned on somebody for no good reason. And that's exactly what Seth Rollins' character is doing. And I love that part of it. Got to get to the WWE wellness policy violations that came out this week. Bobby Roode and Primo are out for 30 days. This is the first time in 3 years that anybody has had a wellness policy violation. I don't know what they tested positive for. I do know that testosterone is something that WWE checks for that other testing organizations don't always test for. A little frustrating, especially for Bobby Roode. I think, you know, yes, he's not a main event player, but he was doing some good work with Dolph Ziggler. It shifted the plans for TLC. They were supposed to challenge the New Day, but I'm just disappointed that that's a guy who I always thought was on the up and up, and now all of a sudden you hit that. Primo, who cares? He hasn't been on TV in a year, and let's be honest, I'm expecting them to release he and Epico any day now, following up all the other releases that we'll get into in a little bit. But, you know, if they're going to start ramping up their wellness policy testing, great. I think you need to clean up the sport. All these rinky-dink companies that don't have testing policies, people go down there and they make a name for themselves, and then they get to WWE. And, you know, sometimes the WWE schedule and things like that lead people to take some things they normally wouldn't take. Or maybe on the indie scene, they develop some kind of dependency on things that WWE doesn't allow. And we don't want to see that. So get them all cleaned up. You know, there's way too much in the business as it is. You know, as we all know, we learned when UFC tested Brock Lesnar and he failed his drug test, the WWE is not even testing Brock. Well, look at him. The guy's a genetic freak. So obviously, you know, there's holes in their testing policy, but to see them suspend anybody, I almost feel like they did it on purpose with somebody who is not active in the company. And then Bobby Roode, who is a name, but he's not a big name, but it makes it look like he's a big name. So they could just get the publicity out there that they're still holding their people accountable. I don't know if it's legit or not. I get this bogus vibe about the whole thing. Moving on, talent releases. We mentioned that earlier. I know I'm in the minority, but I'm kind of sad to see the Ascension go because I think they never got a fair shot. The minute they got to the main roster, they were buried, especially when they came out and they had the whole thing with like the New Age Outlaws and, Ron Simmons and JBL and all that nonsense, the NWO. That was a horrible way to introduce people to a main roster. You just totally buried any momentum they had. In NXT, Connor and Victor were incredible. You bring them to the main roster, you bury them right away, and then you're surprised you have nothing to do with them. That's WWE's fault. That's not their fault. They're actually solid in the ring. And I'm really frustrated that WWE, the biggest wrestling company in the world, couldn't figure out something better to do with Connor and Victor. They shafted them hardcore. And a lot of people said, oh, I hope they don't go to AEW. Everybody doesn't need to go to AEW. Well, you're right. Not everybody does. But AEW should be acquiring any incredible talent. And I'm going to be honest with you. Connor and Victor may not be Hall of Famers, but they are significantly better than what WWE let them look like the last year to 2 years. So hopefully they get a shot somewhere to make an impact. I love the Luke Harper release. I think WWE's stupid for letting him go. Severely underappreciated, going all the way back to when he had the Intercontinental Championship and when he had the opportunity to wrestle in the Battle Royal with AJ Styles and everybody to see who was going to go to WrestleMania and the botched ending, which led to he and Styles wrestling a match. He looked incredible. You know, the guy clearly has a lot more to offer that WWE wasn't seeing and tapping into. And I really hope he gets an opportunity at AEW or wherever because he really is an incredible worker. And it's about time somebody give him an opportunity. I don't really have much concern about any of the other releases. Luke Harper was the one I really want to see go elsewhere and get his thing. With Sin Cara leaving, that's another one. We haven't seen Sin Cara worth a darn lately. Apparently WWE's done with that character as a whole because they destroyed the character. Again, you notice like a broken record. WWE destroys their own intellectual property so often. And then this week they go out and they buy up a bunch of intellectual property for old WCW and ECW name brands. Why? You're going to mess it up anyways. You're just doing that to stop All Elite Wrestling from copyrighting those names? Like, I really feel like they just spent the money to copyright and patent all those names just to stop AEW. Okay, so they don't get the name of, you know, Barely Legal. Well, who cares? If you really think that Cody Rhodes and Tony Khan were going to sit there and strategize to use every pay-per-view name that WWE never patented, you're an idiot. They didn't ask for Full Gear. They didn't ask for Double or Nothing or All Out or All In or any of those things. They came up with that on their own. They grabbed a couple because they had very specific needs for those. WWE rushing out and grabbing all these other ones is kind of stupid if you ask me, but whatever. That's their choice. You know, if they want to waste their money, go for it. I did find, speaking of the Hall of Fame, I thought it was really funny this week that Randy Orton put his endorsement out there for Ken Shamrock to go into the Hall of Fame, especially considering Ken Shamrock is wrestling for Impact Wrestling right now. I actually would be okay with Ken Shamrock going in. I understand the majority of his career was done in the mixed martial arts world, but for a short period of time, he was really influential in WWE. Again, here we go, back to my classic argument. He was more influential than Coco Beware and Hillbilly Jim ever were. So, why not? I'm okay with Shamrock going in. He won the NWA World Championship. He was one of the pilot talents for Impact Wrestling when they first came out. He did a ton with the corporation and WWE, Intercontinental Champion, all that kind of stuff. So there's definitely substance there. So why not? But I just found it interesting that Randy Orton would endorse somebody who's currently wrestling for the competition. I found that funny. Backstage viewership, WWE Backstage. They're dipping in the ratings even with CM Punk returning, which is a little bit of a concern. I actually loved Punk being on this week. I loved his little angle he put out there for the Lana Rusev-Lashley booking, that he would have Rusev and Lashley somehow team up and go against somebody else, and the two of them would face off at WrestleMania, and the loser gets stuck with Lana. I love that idea. And as ludicrous as it sounds, because I know he was saying it just to be annoying to WWE, but I love it. That's the kind of dumb, cartoonish, like old-fashioned carny wrestling that I actually think WWE needs more of. That would be funny. This storyline has been garbage and trash since it got started. And I can't believe Lana and Rusev agreed to this nonsense. Unless they really were having marital issues. I can't imagine why they would have agreed to this to begin with. The only other way I would book it is if this whole thing has been a ruse. and she hasn't actually been sleeping with Lashley, and she's been setting Lashley up for Rusev to become monster heel and Lashley to flip face. But I don't see that happening either. I don't think they know what to do with this feud. It's absolutely garbage. Other news, because we got to get to other things outside of the WWE world. New Japan America has announced their first 5 dates coming to North America 2020. Check those out, because they should be awesome. And they're not going to have the pyro and the production value of a WWE show. At least I don't expect them to. But they're going to have some of the best in-ring action in the business. If you are a fan of true wrestling, check that out. Look up the dates. You can find them online, New Japan America. ACH, in the news again. He quit wrestling last week and all that kind of stuff. Major League Wrestling had actually set up a major push for him upon returning to MLW the other week. And now he's leaving wrestling and he's still venting frustration online. And look, I don't know what's going on with the guy. Everybody at MLW was saying that he seemed really happy when he was there and everybody was thrilled to see him come back. And they had all these big plans. And then he's just angry again. And he keeps saying he's good and he doesn't have any issues. Dude, I beg to differ. And I'm not trying to dump on him. I actually really like ACH. And I actually sent him a message on Twitter. And I was like, dude, like, you're destroying this incredible body of work that he put together prior to WWE. And the whole complaint about not getting any push in WWE, the guy was like the breakout star tournament winner. He got to wrestle Adam Cole. If he gets upset about the shirt, I get it. I actually understand the shirt thing. Some people have posted online how they don't even understand why he's upset. I do. I get it completely. Very insensitive shirt design. I think the exact same shirt on a gray or white shirt, you would have seen no issue whatsoever. But you put it on that black shirt, it came off wrong. But that is something that usually can be handled with a conversation. And what I mean by that is, because I don't want to in any way insult anyone with the way at my perspective, but what I'm trying to say is, look at WWE merchandise. I would argue that probably 90 to 95% of their t-shirts come with a black background. They do. I'm not saying that to justify it. I still think it was a stupid decision by somebody in marketing. But, you know, it's a conversation. Hey, listen, brother, I'm sorry. We didn't, you know, we totally missed on that. You know, we're going to make it right. Make some large money contribution to a charity of his choice. Give him a push. Really enforce to him how sorry you are that you made this stupid, stupid error and move on. And on ACH's side, accept that. What are you going to do? Go around the rest of your life and be angry because somebody made a shirt design you didn't like that you thought might have been racially charged? Let's be honest, guys. The level of racism in wrestling used to be so high. And anymore, he keeps saying how like African-American people don't get a break in WWE. Kofi Kingston would probably beg to differ, as would Booker T or The Rock. You know what I'm saying? It's not even just a big guy. Leo Rush. After all that Leo Rush went through this year, got a Cruiserweight Championship opportunity. You know, Bobby Lashley's in a premium program that none of us understand. You know, I understand the frustrations that can come out of these sensitive topics. And I'm very, very much attuned to that. And I can appreciate all the frustration initially. But at this point, it's time to move on from that. It's time to be ACH. It's time to be one of the best, high-flying, innovative wrestlers in the world and stop worrying about this other stuff. Because you're depriving yourself of a legacy and your fans of the opportunity to see one of their favorite wrestlers in the ring. I said my piece. I'm going to move on. Vicky Guerrero backstage at AEW Dynamite this week. I got to wonder, you know, WWE went out of their way to give her a job after the untimely passing of Eddie Guerrero in 2005. And they gave her a lot since then. And I wonder, was she just backstage because there was family and friends back there? I saw Hugo Savinovich back there and things like that. Or was she there for potentially an on-screen opportunity in the future? And how would WWE feel about that? Now, truth is it's business. It's not, shouldn't be personal. Vince McMahon needs to understand that, but I don't think he does. I think the old man still thinks that once, you know, he takes care of you, you should be loyal to him forever. That's not business. At the same time, I'm a little surprised that she would go that route. If she goes that route, let's be fair, she hasn't done anything yet. But if she goes that route, I'd be a little surprised because of everything WWE has done for her and her family. So just something to keep an eye on, how many people actually do that. Got to get to the Ring of Honor final battle. Took place last night. What an incredible show. Headlined by PCO winning the Ring of Honor World Championship at 52 years old from Rush. Incredible match. That guy is a machine no matter how old he is. Dragon Lee winning the Ring of Honor World Television Championship. Jay Lethal and Jonathan Gresham winning the Tag Team Championship. Just an incredible show top to bottom. The only flaw in the show is no Women of Honor Championship match. Kelly Klein out of the company. They should have addressed it that night and had the championship go to someone. But they didn't, for whatever reason. So I think that's the only snafu they had on the evening. Otherwise, every match on the card was actually pretty solid. The only one that I hated, this impromptu match with Colt Cabana and Alex Shelley, was like garbage. And it's kind of an insult to Colt Cabana, because here on one company, the NWA, he's the national champion and he's an incredible talent who's on the show every week. And then you go here and he's getting beat by Alex Shelley in a matter of minutes, which is total nonsense. I don't know if they did that just to bury him because he's in the other company or what that's all about. I didn't like that. But otherwise, the rest of the card was incredible. If you are not paying attention to Ring of Honor, you're missing out. Now, I see people online throwing out comments that the only reason they watch the show is the Briscoes and Jay Lethal, and it's not what it used to be, and this, that, and the other. I agree, but wrestling evolves, as has Ring of Honor over the years. Give them a chance, because they actually are putting on some pretty good shows, and I think too many people are missing out just because it's not the old Ring of Honor. Well, move on, because the new Ring of Honor isn't bad either, all right? And by the way, with the Ring of Honor news, my prediction, Marty Scurll absolutely going to AEW. And now the only thing that I think could mess that up is I think he's a smart businessman. I would love to see WWE come in with some insane offer to Marty Scurll and bring him in and make him the face of NXT's like Cruiserweight Championship, or make him the face of NXT. I don't care. But if WWE came in and wowed him with an insane money offer, I think they could steal him away from AEW, and that would be the storyline. And tell me Vince McMahon and Triple H wouldn't love to do that as a storyline, how they stole the villain from AEW and, you know, showcase the heck out of him on WWE TV. If I were them, I would absolutely think about doing that. And the last thing for today, I always save these for the end of the show, the untimely, sad passing of what I consider to be a fantastic role player in WWE, Rene Goulet. For those who don't know who Rene Goulet is, he was a fantastic tag team wrestler, won the tag team championship, things of that nature, and in the 80s, he transitioned into being the guy, kind of like the Brooklyn Brawler, who you would match him up, him, Iron Mike Sharp, those kind of guys, you'd match them up with the new and up-and-coming stars to try to help them get experience and learn in the ring how to really do a match and call a match and be productive as a contributing member of the team. And he had this you know, gimmick where he had this stinky, dirty, nasty glove he wore all the time, and he would use the claw to stink people out and all this, that, and the other. He had such a unique role in the early to mid 80s. And then he went on to become like a producer and an event guy for WWE for a lot of years. And now at the age of 86, he just passed away this week. So, you know, our condolences go out to his family. But I think a lot of times when these things happen, if it's a person who wrestled so long ago, you know, people turn on their different news networks, you know, WrestleZone, Wrestling Inc., or whatever, and they look at it and they see like Rene Goulet passes away at 86, and they go, well, who the heck is that? And it doesn't have the emotional sting that something like Eddie Guerrero did, because Eddie Guerrero was an active current member of the roster when he passed away. But the reality is real diehard wrestling fans, I encourage you, go back, hit up YouTuber, go on WWE's, you know, vintage stuff, and watch some of the matches some of these guys have, because let's face it, they can only tell their stories for so long. And then we've got like the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame is coming up. We said on our last episode that they've announced the Hall of Fame inductees there. Their Hall of Fame induction ceremony, a lot of these older wrestlers go there, and you could really get one-on-one personal attention talking to some of these older guys who have so much of a wealth of knowledge to share with you if you're a diehard wrestling fan. Rene Goulet, I met him one time in Philadelphia at the Philadelphia Marriott Hotel after a match. I believe it was SummerSlam in 1990. It was the SummerSlam when Hulk Hogan and Earthquake had their match, and the Ultimate Warrior and Rick Rude, and Texas Tornado and Mr. Perfect. That was the SummerSlam I was at. And he was with the WWE crew, and I was at the hotel with my father, and he came in, and he was so nice, so pleasant. And he took time to talk to fans, and he was just such an inviting personality. And I don't think, you know, a lot of people today understand that that's the kind of person who instills the love and passion in wrestling that people like myself, and I'm sure many of you have. These people who give us the time of day, they give us an opportunity to hear their stories and to be an active participant in the business behind the scenes as much as we can be. You know, let's be honest, we're never going to be behind the curtain at WWE headquarters or anything, but they let us feel like we're a part of the show because they give us those little inside tidbits and stuff like that. And it's just awesome. So again, our condolences to the Goulet family. We wish them, you know, nothing but peace at this time of year. It's such a tough time of year to lose somebody. But our prayers are with them. That's all the time we have for this episode. Check back with us next episode where we run down the latest wrestling news and rumors. Special thanks, as always, go out to bensound.com and purpleplanet.com for producing any sound and tunes that we use in our shows. Today's show sponsored in part by Beazle Games. Bring a new friend to family game night with sketchy people. Showcase your artistic side of this game from Beazle Games by going to frowrestling.com and clicking on the icon in the middle of the screen to get your copy today. And to alleyrepair.com, contact Alley Repair today for servicing of all your classic skee-ball, pinball, and arcade game needs. If you're looking for your next career move and you're considering college, university life, or you just need some formal training for your next career decision, go to our sister website at frolifeplanning.com for all your higher education needs, as Fro Life Educational Planning is for today, for tomorrow, and for life with Fro Life. I'm Fred Froelich, better known as Mr. Fro. I want to thank you for taking a few moments with us today. And if you want more wrestling news and rumors, go to www.tsj101sports.com for their latest articles on the world of professional wrestling. Or go to my website, frowrestling.com, to check out topics coming to a future episode. Until next time, I always want to thank you guys for all your support. Subscribe and spread the word. We're on a drive to try to get to 2,000 subscribers. Thank you, everybody. Take care. Have a great night.